He takes the cordless phone and disappears back into the building. I stay on the veranda for a while, finishing my lunch, drinking my mineral water, watching the birds in the garden. For all I know, they're the same birds from yesterday. The sky is covered with clouds, not a speck of blue in sight. Oshima most likely found my explanation of the Kafka story convincing, to some extent at least. But what I really wanted to say didn't get across. I wasn't just giving some general theory of Kafka's fiction. I was talking about something very real. Kafka's complex, mysterious execution device wasn't some metaphor or allegory. It's actually here, all around me. But I don't think anybody would get that. Not Oshima. Not anybody. I go back to the reading room, where I sink down in the sofa and into the world of the Arabian Nights. Slowly, like a film fade-out, the real world evaporates. I'm alone, inside the world of the story. My favourite feeling in the world. When at 5 I'm about to leave, Oshima's still behind the counter, reading the same book, his shirt still without a single wrinkle. As always, a couple of strands of hair have fallen over his face. The hands of the electric clock on the wall behind him tick soundlessly on. Everything around him is silent and clean. I doubt the guy ever sweats or hiccups. He looks up and hands me my backpack. He frowns a bit, like it's too heavy for him. Do you take the train here from town? I nod. If you're going to come every day, you should have this. He hands me a sheet of paper, the train timetable, it turns out, between Takamatsu Station and the station where I get off for the library. They usually run on time. Thanks, I say, slipping the sheet into my backpack. Kafka, I don't have any idea where you've come from or what your plans are. But you can't stay in a hotel forever, right? He says, choosing his words carefully. With the fingers of his left hand, he checks the tips of his pencils. Not that it's necessary, since they're all as sharp as can be. I don't say anything. I'm not trying to interfere, believe me. I just thought I might as well ask. A boy your age, in a place you've never been before, I can't imagine it's easy going. I nod again. Are you heading somewhere else after here? Or are you going to be here for a while? I haven't decided yet, but I think I'll be here for a while. No other place to go, I admit. Maybe I should tell Oshima everything. I'm pretty sure he won't put me down, give me a lecture, or try to force some common sense on me. But right now, I'm trying to keep what I say to a minimum. Besides, I'm not exactly used to telling people how I feel. For the time being, then, you think you can manage? Oshima asks. I give a short nod. Good luck, then, he says. Apart from a few minor details, I spend the next 7 days in the same way. Apart from Monday, of course, when the library's closed and I spend the day at a big public library. The alarm clock gets me up at 6:30 every morning, and I gulp down the hotel's pseudo-breakfast. If the chestnut-haired girl's behind the front desk, I give her a little wave. She always nods and repays me with a smile. I think she likes me, and I kind of like her too. Could she be my sister? The thought does cross my mind. Every morning, I do some easy stretching exercises in my room. And when the time rolls around, I go to the gym and run through the usual circuit training. Always the same amount of weight, the same number of reps. No more, no less. I take a shower and wash every inch of me. I weigh myself to make sure my weight's staying steady. Before noon, I take the train to the Komura Library, exchange a few words with Oshima when I give him my backpack and when I pick it up, eat lunch out on the veranda, and read. When I finish the Arabian Nights, I tackle the complete works of Natsume Soseki. There's still a couple of his novels I haven't read yet. At 5, I leave the library. So, most of the day, I'm in the gym or the library. As long as I'm in one of those two, nobody seems to worry about me. Chances are pretty slim a kid skipping school would hang out in either one. I eat dinner at the cafe in front of the station. I try to eat as many vegetables as I can and occasionally buy fruit from a stand and peel it using the knife I took from my father's desk. I buy cucumbers and celery, wash them in the sink at the hotel, and eat them with mayonnaise. Sometimes I pick up a carton of milk from the local shop and have a bowl of cereal. In my room, I jot down in my diary what I did that day, listen to Radiohead on my Walkman, read a little, and then it's lights out at 11. Sometimes I masturbate before going to sleep. I think about the girl at the front desk, putting any thoughts of her potentially being my sister out of my head for the time being. I hardly watch any TV or read any newspapers. But on the evening of the eighth day, as had to happen sooner or later, this simple, centripetal life is blown to bits.